Hello, welcome back to the Urban Vibe Podcast. My name is Vic, and I am here today to discuss the honors program that we have at DMAC. Mr. Borman?
Hi, my name is Alex Borman. I am the Honors Program Assistant here with the Honors Program at DMAC. I graduated from Honors or from DMAC with Honors in 2019 with a Marketing Associate's degree. Joined the team back again in 2021, I believe. Outside of DMAC, I coach a lot of sports at the middle school and high school level. I collected a lot of things. I'm by definition, I think some could call me a nerd. But yeah, I think that's me.
Amazing. And Mrs. Waddle?
Yeah. Good morning. I'm Dr. Sarah Waddle, and I'm a full-time English professor at the Boone campus and the Hunziker Center. And I also help out Dr. Nancy Woods with the Honors Program. And Nancy is the director of the Advanced Academic or the Advanced Student Academics Department, which is a district-wide department over all of six campuses at DMAC, and also the centers as well. So I help her out with that. I did direct the honors program in years like two through six or seven. So I know a little bit about the beginnings of the program, and was excited to come back and help support it and its success.
That's really, really nice of you to come back and, re-involve yourself. Because I think a lot of people, if they move on from a program, they don't really step back and they don't reflect on what's going on with it. So that's very cool. Honors itself, when I first heard about it, it kind of came off as, I don't know, intimidating, like daunting, especially since I've been out of school for 10 years. For people that are like nervous about the requirements, what can we say about that to make them feel more about, in ease about joining the program?
The biggest thing I've always said, first of all, is that you never have to be the smartest kid to be in the honors program. If you knew me in high school, I was pretty dumb. For a lot of things, I feel like I'm pretty dumb now. But the requirements, they say a 3.5 GPA, you don't have to be the smartest kid. You just need to be willing to put in some extra effort and some extra work. So although we have the 3.5 GPA requirement for a lot of students coming in from high school into college, at least I know for me in my experience, I took some easy dual credit courses that had my DMAC GPA above 3.5. And so when I came in, I had those 12 credits and I had a 3.5, and that's how I qualified for the program.
I think that I had over a 3.5 my first summer. I started school in summer, and that's when you guys reached out to me. If you qualify, do you automatically get an email? Like, I'm sure is Nancy like in control of some sort of list of eligible students?
So yes and no. Nancy reaches out to our, I guess you would call them data IT people, and she gets a master list of students who qualify with the GPA and the credit requirement of 12 credits.
That is so fun that it's like a whole faculty wide situation and you get support from like all angles. I don't think people think about academic programs and then go, the IT guys are involved. Like, it's pretty intense. Is there anything else about the requirements that students would need to know?
The biggest thing that you won't necessarily see up front is that the program on average takes about 3 semesters to complete. If needed, it can be done in 2. But that's one of the issues with when we get the master list from IT is every student is on their own unique path and direction. So we have some students in the program who have 45 credits, but they're starting a new degree. And we have some students who have 45 credits and they're in their last semester, so they can't participate in the program because they won't be able to complete it.
So they have to get in like early when you first start. All right.
Within your first or second semester, yes.
That makes sense, just so they have enough time without the pressure of having to complete it. Does anything negative happen if you're halfway through the program and then just don't complete it, or do you just not get the credit at the end of
I
school?
mean, we get sad, but I mean,
Oh, they're
no, it
sad.
doesn't.
Okay.
If there won't be a black check mark on your resume or on your transcript. It's just not everyone gets to complete the program. I mean, it happens.
Okay, so not detrimental to career, but detrimental to emotions.
Yes.
Understandable. Is there anything from the pick of the litter from this year that you're noticing versus other years? Or when you get a group of kids for honors, is it kind of like copy paste every year? Are these the same kids that you see, or is there always like little differences?
I'd say for the most part, it's all fairly similar. There's usually, at least in the past couple years, when Nancy took over and we combined the PTK and honors kind of effort, we've had a large group of students come in, and then they realize either there's a little bit of a time commitment that they can't do. You know, a lot of these people have kids, they have full-time jobs, you know, stuff like that. But the ones who are actively seeking honors are the ones who most likely complete the program and stay in the whole time because they understand the commitment that they need from themselves, they understand the commitment that we need from them, and things like that.
That makes total sense. What about you, Mrs. Waddle? Have you noticed any differences in the sorts of kids or projects or as time has gone on?
Yeah, I'd agree with Alex that I think in general, the students that are in the honors program are coming with some drive or some personal interest to develop their leadership skills and their broader understanding of their major, and maybe looking for some mentorship from the honors staff and the honors faculty members. I think that's pretty much constant year after year. I think one thing that is changing a little bit, and I think Dr. Woods is interested in pursuing more, is reaching out to the students that are in the career and technical programs at DMAC and trying to find ways to bring them into these advanced student opportunities that are here at DMAC. So I see that a little bit, a little more and more of the career students that are hearing about the program and seeing ways that they can develop honors projects within their career interests, and kind of reap the benefits of what the program can offer to them personally and professionally.
Is the career classes what you're talking about? Is that like trades, like the electricians and the EMTs? And okay,
Yes,
that would make sense.
exactly. Yeah, welding, diesel, technology, civil engineering technology, like we have like a lot of nurses in the program. I think historically we've had a lot of the nurses in there, but I'm trying to think like med lab, respiratory therapy, those sorts of programs also have fantastic students that the program would really, I think, fit well with what they're interested in, but sometimes it's hard to get that information out to them. And I think that's something that Dr. Woods is really, really committed to in the coming years.
Yeah, DMAC covers quite a few different like pathways to occupation. I didn't even when I had applied originally a couple years ago, because I've only been at school like a year and a half, there was a lot of options and it was almost overwhelming what you could do. And what's funny about it is there's stuff that DMAC teaches that I would have never even guessed. Like my dad enrolled in a motorcycle class and now he's on a motorcycle. A man's 55. He's never owned a motorcycle. He got my little brother into it. Now they both have bikes because DMAC, he was just on DMAC's catalog and it was like, oh, I guess we could do this. So I've always found that very interesting. But what you had mentioned that the leadership quality to the honors program. Since I'm in the program, I've seen a little bit of that. And I went to the workshops for the orientation. The honors kids always have an orientation in the beginning for the new students and also the returning. And I had a really good time. And we also did some leadership-oriented stuff in the 100 class. What other things does honors offer when it comes to leadership?
I would say, there are a number of opportunities that look different in the honors program. So hopefully, no matter what type of leadership experience the student is seeking, there's a place for them in honors. One thing that is always a part of the program is the student Honors Advisory Board, or we call it SHAB, where students are invited to become a part of the student team that gives feedback about the student experience to the honors, to Nancy and to the members of the Honors Board and to the DMAC administration about how to improve it, like what's going well, what areas could we make even stronger? And they do social things too. They plan some of the social events for the honor students district wide. So there's always SHAB. And they meet, I think, once a month, sometimes in person, often virtually, because they're from all of the campuses usually. So there's that. There's also, like, within the honor seminar classes, there are leadership components as well. And so they're always working on what we call an honors in action project, where they're the students are asked to identify a need in the community and as a group work to address that need. And so there's like some service learning involved as well, but they do tend to have to reach out to external like organizations as they're putting that project together. Like, for example, my Honors 200 class this semester, they're working with the Honors in Action theme of the power of storytelling. And so they, as a class, generated a number of ideas about how they could pursue a project related to storytelling and came up with the idea of putting some little libraries around, either in the communities or by like the soccer fields, by the where the kids play, or maybe even on the campuses throughout DMAC. They're still deciding like where to put it, but they'll need to, I would imagine, write a proposal for some funding for the little library materials that they'll either have to build together or we'll get them pre-assembled. Again, we're figuring out like what wh where they want to how they want to, if they want to build more or if they want to raise funds more or what they want to do. But they'll have to reach out maybe to the provosts or to the rec leagues and the communities. Or, if they're going to ask a resident if they can put a little library on their property, they'll have to do that sort of that outreach. So there's some leadership skills that are inherent, I think, in those Honors 100 and 200 projects that the students learn as they're going along, working as a team, figuring out which parts of the team their natural gifts like can contribute to, and then also learning from the other team members around them who are co-leading those projects with them.
That's a very cool project. That's a
I
well
was
thought out and
I
incredible.
I really was impressed, yeah, with their with what they came up with. They're a great group.
Yeah, and right now I think is the perfect time to start pushing storytelling and more academia fam like face things for especially younger kids, because isn't that who usually gets into the little libraries? It's like children who see them usually. So that's very fun to be able to spread the word. What about you, Mr. Borman? Do you have anything else about like the leadership opportunities for students if they join?
I think as much as we can teach students about being leaders. There are other students who also bring in a lot of leadership qualities. We've said at many orientations that we love our coaches here at the honors program. Like, I coach middle school and high school, and Jocelyn Kovarik, our Boone academic honors advisor, she is the women's basketball coach over there. And then as we get applicants that come in for the program, I will usually at least skim through their application essay. There are some students who I need to score their essays on my own because it's usually later towards the semester beginning. But we have a lot of students, especially young students, that are, they lead church groups, they coach younger kids at like the weekend soccer clubs, basketball clubs. So we have a lot of students who can teach other students about being young leaders, which is really cool to see.
That is pretty cool to see. I think I would have done well if I was like 20, 22, and I was surrounded by other kids that were close to my age that had those kinds of like drives and inspirations, I guess. I mean, I'm sure no one inspires to be a T-ball coach, but to be 18 or 19 and then go out and be like, you know what I can do and help in my community, that's pretty cool. I'm very happy with what I've gotten done in honors. I've had a couple posters. I've learned how to research. Right now, I'm working on the nitrate issue and water right now for Iowa, especially after the water ban this past summer. Can either of you think of some very cool projects, posters, or just ideas that have came from honor students before, either if it's from the beginning of the honors program or even as of recent?
Definitely. Reaching back to the career students, and Alex, you might know where I'm going with this one. It's one of my favorite ones to talk about. There was a student, I think he was in the auto tech program, and he was taking, I think, Dr. Woods's class in physics for honors. And he also had a daughter who I think had some physical special needs. And so, they brainstormed projects and came up with the idea of kind of tricking out her little Barbie like battery operated car, and so they put like hydraulic lifts on it and I don't know what else, like just like physics stuff, on the car for her, which was just a beautiful project because it gave back to the student not only like advanced his knowledge in physics, but also there was a personal gain there, I think, and also a professional gain too from those hands-on nuts and bolts like experiences putting the car together. Another career tech student that I can think of did a great project. This was a student early in the program, probably in the first 5 years of it, who was a computer. Oh gosh, it's not computer science, but it was like they were in the programming, I guess, the computer programming part of DMAC. You can tell I teach English, so I don't know all the ins and outs of the majors over there. But he was taking a lot of programming classes at the Ankeny campus, and he. Asked if he could use his honors projects to study for his professional licensures, like for C++, or Java or whatever. And we said, sure, that's perfect, right? So he would study on the side. He would integrate what he was learning in that class, the competencies of say the C++ class, and he had his faculty member there to ask questions to, but he was also studying for that professional exam that related to that content during that semester. And so the honors program paid for him to take that test, and he ended up like he was in the program like 4 semesters, and he ended up having 4 of those professional like certifications on his resume as he when he graduated DMAC. And so he actually was interviewed by Google, and he went out to the West Coast. They brought him because he was, they could see what his profile was, and they were just, recruit. They saw all of those certifications, and he was recruited very heavily and ended up staying in Central Iowa. But I thought that was a really great way for that student to work in the projects, again, for his personal and professional, advancement.
That is pretty impressive. What about you, Mr. Borman? Do you have any other stories that, you just can think of?
I always enjoy the projects and the degree paths that are creative and not necessarily the way you think. Like when I was a student in Honors 200, we had a culinary classmate who created a menu, sourced the products, and made some fancy dinner for his faculty or. Yeah, his honors faculty mentors and a couple other, I don't know if they were restaurateurs necessarily, but he made that dinner. And then last November, I believe, we had a student who, during the annual French chef exchange for the culinary program, she had all of them together and she just made a massive, I guess you would call it traditional Thanksgiving meal for the French chefs who would normally, most likely, never eat an American Thanksgiving meal. And that was really cool.
That is very cool. Somebody I had the pleasure of meeting, and I wish I remembered his name, at the orientation at Boone, was the person who went to the Innovation Challenge last year, and they were working on the AI vape. So it was the vape that over time would release less nicotine until you are not addicted to nicotine anymore. And I think he said that he didn't actually win. But somebody had found him either funding or a way to continue working on that from DMAC. And like that is innovation, right? Like that, and that I found very, very cool that somebody could take an experience at school and literally make a product that can, I like that would save lives, I would assume, if people would stop smoking cigarettes. As like I'm a smoker myself, that he should have released that last year. You know what I mean? So that is so cool that people are actually getting, they're moving on from school with things for their resume, but also just with the skill sets they know they can use now. I did something very similar to the not the cooking, but more the creative side. I used Adobe InDesign to make that first magazine for my first project. That was probably the funnest project I've done in school so far. And I think it was like 28 pages of stuff that I wrote myself, photos I took myself, all of it, and I still have copies, and I have the digital file if I would ever need it. So that's just like an extra thing from my own experience, but I'm in that same ballpark with those other kids that are like, I don't want to do a research poster. I mean, research posters are cool, they're very helpful, and they are important, but sometimes it's fun to go outside the box or outside of the rectangle when it comes to the poster. When it comes to like the faculty for honors, are you guys looking for anybody? Like, do you need other faculty to help? Who are you looking for, if so?
I think, I think we welcome faculty members who are interested in mentoring the honors students, definitely. It does take a like a special, I think, type of professor to actually, have that a little bit of extra time outside of the classroom to work on that individual project that honor student's doing and help them think through, advanced things. Not a super amount of extra time, but that little bit of just availability, I think, and an interest in that student development as well. I think in general, like the DMAC faculty, both part-time and full-time, have really embraced the program. And anytime a student has wanted to take a class for honors that wasn't already coded for honors, I would say, 99% of the time, when that faculty member has been asked to teach, they've said yes. I think since the program's been around a while, it's known for being like a positive experience for both the student and the faculty member, and I think that helps the faculty, kind of say yes to the opportunity to work with the student more closely one-on-one. And again, it can be very professionally rewarding for them too, because oftentimes that student will be interested in learning something that's kind of new in that area, and that gives that faculty member like a vehicle to learn something new about their discipline as well, like through that project. So it tends to be a win-win.
That's very cool. I've had my fair share of experiences with like overachieving because I'm an overachiever, but it's always been met when it comes to faculty at the honors program or other teachers at DMAC. I usually am overachieving in classes with teachers or professors that are also overachievers. So instead of trying to kind of calm me down, they've always been like, okay, well, what do you need help with? What do you need next? Like, after you're done with point A, what are you going to do after point B so we can get you prepared to do that? And that's something that I didn't experience in high school. You know, if you overachieve in high school, they're like, chill. Like, unless you're trying to get into like an Ivy League college, which I don't know if a lot of people in the Des Moines metro do, it was kind of met with that. We're going to get you out. Like, we want you to do well enough to graduate, but 4.0 didn't mean anything in high school. Now, though, I'm consistently meeting those goals, and I think honors has really helped me do that. So that's just, it's a very cool feeling to have that support. It's almost like fictional sometimes, having support from teachers and staff at colleges. A lot of people talk about kind of like the fake security effect, where if you have enough people around you, you feel like you're supported, but you actually don't. That wasn't my experience in this program. It was like the support was actually there.
That's great to hear. That's what we always want to hear, so that's good. It goes back for me. That goes back to one of your original questions about like if students are hesitating because they're not sure, maybe if they're ready for honors. I think one of the things that I would want them to know is that those professors, those honors professors that they'll have both in Honors 100, their first seminar, and then also their discipline faculty member, are going to be there for it to support them, and their peers will too. So I think the students, hopefully, if we're doing things right, they feel that support and that excitement about who they are and what they're interested in immediately upon joining the program, at the orientations and at the banquets and the other events that we have for the students. They feel that we are there for them, and are dedicated and committed to helping them advance in the areas that they're personally interested in. Like, we don't want to impose, something on them. This should be generated by an intrinsic drive within them. That's what we're interested in bringing forth. So it's good to hear that you feel like, some of what you've received in honors has been like very personally valuable, and professionally valuable too. That's when we know we're doing it right.
What about you, Mr. Borman? Do you have any thoughts on, like, do you need an assistant to be your assistant? Would they need an assistant to be an assistant to an assistant after all these people join after this podcast?
I mean, not necessarily. It's like we have faculty members who are, I don't want to say higher achieving, but they do more in terms of helping reach out and get more students into the program as well. Whether it be like they see a student in class where they go, you could be great for the honors program, right? Or someone they walk past multiple times. during the day, like another instructor, where they're like, you could help instruct in the honors program. Here's how you do it. One of the nice things about the program too is when we get a second or third semester student who engages with a new faculty member that doesn't know what the honors program is. So that's usually a much easier way for the new faculty member to ease into understanding what the program is, just because they have an experienced student with it. By coincidence, we have a student from 2 semesters ago. It was his final semester. There was another student who was in her first semester, and they both had interest in a graphic design course with an instructor that hadn't done anything before. And so, through the experienced student, she learned how to help the new student as well. And then, by coincidence, I am now coaching her son in football this year. So it's like
Small
it's one of
world.
those crazy connection things. And then the experienced student I still talk with, we're actually going to go see the new Tron movie next week when it comes out. So.
Very cool, very cool. I also this project I'm doing right now, I think is my third semester right before my outro class. And the teacher that I approached had it done honors, and I think she said 6 to 8 years. And she said the last time she had done it, the students weren't really working with her. Like, they weren't committed to it. And it left, like, kind of a bad taste in her mouth. So she had it done one. But when I showed up with 70% of my project done, like, already over the summer, and she was like, yeah, like, let's do it. Like, obviously, you're going to keep showing up. And I think that I kind of swapped the tables around for her now, if that makes sense, where to going forward, I think if she gets another request for an honor student, she's going to be a little bit more excited about it instead of being like, I hope whoever's about to show up at my door is actually doing what they say they're going to do. Because I'm sure there are a few students here or there that take on too much work because they have their own classes or they have their kids or they have their actual jobs. And they didn't understand the commitment. That being said, I think that the commitment to honors personally is more about what you're trying to achieve in it. So if you pick a project for yourself, because no one's picking the projects for you that takes a long time to complete, you have to commit more than doing, like, if you were doing a PowerPoint presentation on something to show the class at the end of the semester. So I think it's really interesting to see the different people's perspectives on the projects, especially when it comes to teachers. Because they have had their own personal experience being an honors teacher. And I guess it can just vary so differently depending on who they got. I'm out of questions. I'm not quite sure what else. We really covered everything. I know we didn't really get into like the history of the honors programs, but I think seeing the products that came from it is very helpful, especially if somebody's debating joining or not. But other than the leadership and other than having a better relationship with faculty, is there anything else either of you want to say about like the overall benefits? For me, Nancy always talks about the 3 credit reimbursement. They're like, if you take a class with us, we're not going to make you pay for it. Other than that, can you think of anything else?
Right. Yeah. So the honors, I'm glad you brought that up. The honors 100 and 200 classes are the student never pays for those. DMAC pays for that, those leadership development classes for those students. And then those honors discipline classes, if the student gets a B or above in those classes and does a project, an honors project in the class, then DMAC reimburses them for that tuition. In the program, that's right. I would say it depends. It really depends on the student. And again, like I think the program is there to support whatever ambitions they have. So we have had students that have gone to Ivy League colleges, actually. We had a student just last semester who was dually enrolled at Roosevelt High School and the honors program at DMAC, and
Wow.
she's at Harvard now. She was our first Harvard transfer, but one of our other alum is at Brown University now, which is a Ivy League school. And we've had other alumni who have completed PhDs at what ones it was at Rice University. He's done now in computational math, and we have another one at Georgia Tech in who's pursuing a PhD in aerospace engineering as well. And we had a one that went to Berkeley, and now he's at MIT at a postdoc. So and I'll just run one more up the flagpole because the students are tremendous. And these were all that came to the program with that goal to go to those sorts of schools. We had another one that transferred to Boston University and not only graduated from BU, which was her number one school, but she ended up becoming the class president there in her
Wow.
junior and senior years. So that is there for the students who want that. Like, the program can be a launching point for that type of academic experience and advanced pursuit of advanced degrees. For other students, the just the like the student that did the professional certifications, he went straight to the workforce after DMAC. I don't even think he went to a 4-year school. I think he went straight. And so that was right for him. And so we, as a program, we want to support whatever, again, whatever personal or professional ambitions the students bring, whatever they want to experiment with, right? Or see if that's an aptitude of theirs. That's where we want to support them in that. The way I like to think about it is that the students are used to achieving most of the time. They're achievers, and we support that achievement. But the program offers them an opportunity to thrive, not just achieve, but to thrive. Because if we're doing it right, it's reinforcing that internal drive and passion for who they are as a person, right? Both, leadership wise and also vocationally. And so they're, if we're doing it right, they're getting that a lot of growth and rewarding, meaningful experiences in the program. And that's what I would add. I mean, the reimbursements are great. Who doesn't like their tuition paid? But there's this professional and personal investment in them that I think the program is one of the better features of the program.
Very cool. Very cool. What about you, Mr. Borman? Do you have any thoughts?
So I have the website open and I'm gonna look at the main ones that we haven't covered yet. I know a big one for certain programs that are very, very full. We do offer early registration. There are two groups at DMAC that get early registration. One of them is veterans and the other one is honor students. And I believe registration opens 2 days earlier, 2 or 3 days, something like that. We have a couple opportunities a year to take students to conferences related to honors. So we have the Upper Midwest Regional Conference that is around Midwest states. DMAC did host it in 2023, I believe, which that was really cool. And then there is also a national conference that bounces all over the United States. So 2 years ago it was Chicago, last year it was Kansas City. I believe this year is San Diego. There was 1 year it was New Orleans. There was one in Boston that I went to when I was a student. So it was we have opportunities to take students to those. They can present their posters that they do. At the very least, it gives them chances to network, meet, discuss honors programs at other universities. And speaking of universities, we have agreements with a handful of, I believe right now it's Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, and Grandview. We have agreements where students who graduate from the DMAC Honors Program who transfer to these universities can automatically be added to their honors program. And then I believe Nancy is at some big conference next week. Nancy Woods, by the way, is the Advanced Student Academics Director. I don't know if we ever actually mentioned that at the beginning of this.
Yes, and if she was here, she would be talking nonstop about our relationship with PTK, which I was going to ask about. I don't know if it's going to be on your list of benefits or not, I'm also in PTK, but I was trying to figure out, is it an honor society as well that is like bumped up, or is it something different? Because I don't understand the difference between PTK and honors.
Let's put a pin in that. I'll
Okay.
finish this stuff that I'm going to, and at the end we can go into all the PTK stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I believe Nancy is at some conference at the beginning of next week where she's going to be surrounded by other university leaders where she wants to talk with as many of them as possible to talk about transferring into other honors programs. And then one last thing I wanted to mention too is that back when I was a student, which would have been, I graduated in 2019. We had a student who was in high school at DMAC, planned to graduate from DMAC and high school at the same time with honors. And that was the first student who we had ever seen with that kind of drive for that. And now we're here in 2025, and that's like a regular thing that we see right now, where we have a whole cohort. We have two cohorts in Carroll, where their plan is to all graduate high school and DMAC at the same time, which is a group of
Beautiful.
like 10 plus students for those two big groups. And we have one student who applied as a sophomore last year, and in years past, it's only been juniors and seniors. And so I told Nancy, I was like, we have a student who's a sophomore. What do we want to do? And she was like, you know what? I run the program now. Let's see what happens. And now she's one of our most enjoyable students to work with. And it depends on the high school program itself, where for a lot of students, the high school pays for their tuition, their dual credit tuition, but they don't cover the summer semesters. So that's where that reimbursement comes into place, where a student, if they go, I want to do this a little faster, or I want to take an art course that isn't part of my degree or something like that, where they can then enroll in the course with an instructor that's worked with the honors program students before, then they can do their project, get the money back, and they get a cool course, to add to their transcript.
That is really impressive. I'm so excited to see the differences in students now, because I've also met a couple people that have been like, I graduated DMAC with my degree, a CDL. I knew somebody who had a CDL during the time here. And he's like, I failed half the classes. But he's like, somehow I still, when I locked in the next semester and retook those classes, DMAC had my back. He wasn't an honors student, but I thought it was really, really impressive because, I mean, he was struggling for a whole year. Usually, if you're struggling that long, you just drop out, especially if it's community college. He said, no, I'm gonna fix it, and then I'm gonna get out of here with a thing to put on my resume so I can get work. I don't remember if he had like a family. I know he was a very young kid. I think he was only 19 or 20, and I met him through Trios, which is also another program that I think is very beneficial. And the requirements are the same as well. So, like, if you, they're maybe not 100% the same, but they're very similar. A lot of people that qualify for honors also qualify for trios, and they also are able to help with a lot of the same kinds of connections, leadership opportunities, events. It's been very beneficial for me to be in a dual. I'm very impressed. Everybody I've ever met at the orientation has always had a strong sense of themselves. I've never met somebody that seemed hesitant to be in that space. And I think that is so rare. Like the honor students from DMAC, they show up to honors knowing they're in the room they're supposed to be. And I've never seen anybody back down from it. So that kind of confidence, I think, is really, truly rare. To get back to the PTK thing, sorry, I wasn't trying to cut you off. For me, that is sort of the benefits as well, is Nancy had that has like a relationship with Dan Platt that I think they work together a lot to make sure things happen. He couldn't be here today because he is also at an event, and he also had passed along well wishes for the honor students on the podcast. These I would like to say that the faculty of in honors and then also around honors seem to be very, very committed. I know we kind of touched that on that earlier because we were talking about like overachievers, but I've never seen so much communication between programs in any situation. Like outside of school, in the everyday workforce, I've never seen people play nice as well as they do here. So I'm just saying thank you, I think. That's what I'm trying to get to. People actually talking to each other and caring about the students, I think is rare. And I think Honors has a lot of students. Like when I was in that building, I was like, wow, because there's only so many of you guys, and then we keep multiplying. And we're still expecting the same kind of progress from your side, which is that inspirational mentorship, leadership qualities. We keep getting bigger. You guys have to keep throwing out the same kind of energy. So, from me and other honors students, I guess, just thanks. Because when we end up graduating and we go to Brown, or that girl went to Harvard, or I know one of Sean Taylor's students, I believe it works for a nonprofit in Kansas City now. And she came back for, like, in Boone, they have the mile run or the ruck run. I can't think of the In My Boots, that's what it's called. The In My Boots ruck truck, I think he called it, that we worked on for my Honors 100. But she, I don't know if she came down or if she was just in communication, but he is trying now, with like the help of the Honors and that, to build tiny homes in Des Moines for the unhoused population here. And that is so important right now, specifically. Not only because it's, well, it's important anyway because unhoused people deserve homes. But I think it's really important right now when a lot of people are getting pushed out of Des Moines, but there's still groups in Des Moines in our community that said, no, we want to help. And it's connected to this program. There's a lot of programs like that, but I think it showcases one instance of the program being bigger than just us and our your students. Because we're literally helping like the community. Those students that are in Honors 100, we go out of our way to help the community. And that is so fun. And I'm glad you guys put that as the first one, you know, because community building is so important. I'll let you guys go soon, I promise. I'll wrap up here. When it comes to community, is there anything you could tell the students other than anything we've already covered to try to get them excited? Like if you were had to convince somebody that it was right for them, what would you tell them?
I think I'd ask them, you know, what they were looking for. If it sounded like the program would meet their what they're looking for, then I would explain the benefits. And I would, you know, we've talked, Alex talked a little bit about the benefits a little while ago. And then for PTK, so to answer your question about the two, if the student puts it together, they have great benefits not only as a DMAC student but also as a transfer. So if they're in the honors program at DMAC, and that's just an institution, that's a DMAC program. The honors program is a DMAC program, and so it can reimburse them for some of the DMAC tuition, and give them those opportunities. For PTK, that's an international honor society that is has relationships with four-year institutions across the world that have transfer scholarships just for PTK students. So there are so many benefits to both of the program that it's hard to kind of get your mind around all of it. But in a nutshell, I would say to the student, you know, the honors program can give you a lot of opportunities and financial support while you're a DMAC student. And then when you transfer, there are a lot of PTK scholarships that are available to, you know, institutions across the world that the student can transfer to with that financial support, and also the same themes of building, you know, personal development, around service to the community, leadership, and fellowship among students of like mind and like drive. That's how I would answer both of those questions.
Amazing. Thank you. That's good information. I was trying to think of the word. I think you, when you said it was the international, I think that was the difference I was trying to struggle out. I was like, I know they're very similar, but I can't put my finger on exactly how they're different. I do also believe for a benefit, it's either PTK or honors. But if you go to some of the in-state schools, I think you get $1,000 off a semester, possibly. But I think that would have to. I don't know if that'll be forever. So if you're listening to this 5 years from now, that information may be changed. Other than that, Mr. Borman, if a student is hearing this and isn't an honors student, how can they find how to sign up? And if they are an honors student and want to take it further, how do they apply for the Student Honors Advisory Board, or is it Activities Board? SHAB.
So for new students, if they can just Google DMAC Honors Program or go to the DMAC website and go through the search feature, search honors. We have been recently revamping the honors website. So there's also a advanced student academic landing page. There's a PTK page that tells you more about Phi Theta Kappa and eligibility and kind of the benefits of that. Let me scroll back through here. So if you go to the homepage for the honors program, scroll down to prospective honors students. It lists the benefits, tuition awards, things like that. And at the bottom, there's the application button, as well as there's an essay prompt that it's about, let's see, 800 words. That's about a page and a half. My biggest pet peeve when I read some of these is that some of the students don't tell us who they are, and they don't tell us why they're interested in the program. So as much as we like to hear about, some group project you led, we want to know more about you as well, who you are as a person, as a student, as a classmate, as a team member, as a team leader even. Those are some of my favorite essays, are the ones where the students talk about, how they have led youth groups, sports clubs, things like that. For students who would like to be in, in students who are interested in SHAB, they can reach out to me and Nancy, alborman@dmac.edu or nawoods@dmac.edu. They do, once the semester gets rolling, they do meet either once or twice a month. They talk about various leadership qualities. They do a couple projects. Some of them work on planning the honors banquet. It just depends on the semester and how timelines are really. But yeah, if they can just reach out, I'm sure in this podcast there'll be some info button somewhere they could push where emails are and things like that. But
Absolutely. I'll also link out. So it's not too hard, but that's also how I found the honors. If I wasn't in my email, is you look it up and it's pretty easy to find, which is very cool because the DMAC website is very hard to use. So it is and it's changing every week. There's a new button or a new program or a new something. So I'm glad that the honors has always stayed consistent. And also the program on the honors, like the where you submit your contract and when you submit all that, it's always worked. So thank you. And the IT guys who are behind this, amazing. Thank you. Is there anything else that anybody would like to add about the honors? Or I think we covered it all. Yeah, I think we did a great job. Thank you for coming and meeting with me today. I know I took like 20 extra minutes. I am hoping that this really does help when it comes to students finding honors, and I hope they have a good time with it because I've had such a good time with it. So, if there's nothing else, I appreciate you being here, and I'll talk to you soon, Mr. Borman.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks
This is
for your
awesome.
interest in the program.
Have a good day, y'all.
You too.